Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., Josh Darrow will join us on Friday night from Hard Rock Stadium. He'll be down on the sidelines. Kickoff at 7:30. Our pregame begins at 3:30 in the afternoon. Okay, joining us now on the show, Action Sports Network, Brett McMurphy, one of the great insiders in college football. Brett is with us. Brett, good evening to you. How are you?
Good evening. Good evening, guys. Good to talk to you.
Appreciate you joining us. I want to jump into the University of Miami in a second. However, I want we do have a lot of Dolphin fans that listen to this show, and so you got to go to Brett McMurphy's Twitter page because you have video up there of Uwe Von Schaumann when he was kicking for Oklahoma, and you know Von Schaumann then went on and kicked for the Dolphins.
I know. I was just a young pup in Oklahoma. I was an OU fan back then. My parents went to that game. I still remember that game, and it was hysterical when Von Schaumann, the band is playing, blocked that kick, and he's got his arms going back and forth to the tune of the band, and he sits up there and boots it right through the uprights. And, yeah, as I tweeted, the biggest field goal in the history of the University of Oklahoma, and that says a lot. But, yeah, those are the good old days for the Sooners. They'd like to be experiencing that than what's going on there now. But, yeah, I forgot Uwe had went down and played with the Dolphins. But, yeah, he was a legend at OU, no doubt.
Yeah. By the way, the other thing that jumps out in that video is that place kickers at that time were allowed to use a tee. A lot of young people wouldn't know that. They kick field goals off of tees. At any rate, the University of Miami, what are your thoughts on where Mario Cristobal is with his program right now?
Well, before the season, in the preseason, I vote in the AP poll. I was the only one to vote, put Miami in the top 10 on my preseason ballot. And a lot of that was based on, you know, conversations I had with Mario in the off season about what Miami had coming back, what Miami had gotten through the portal. Obviously you're well aware of all the additions, Cam and Martinez, et cetera, et cetera. And I just really felt that, you know, the amount of talent that Miami had, specifically on the offensive and defensive lines, would be a big difference. I know the national narrative, the lazy take is, you know, well, they've had some late issues in game management. And, yeah, okay, that happened, yeah. But still, you can't take away with the talent they have. And I got to see it up firsthand. I was at the USF Miami game, and yeah, Miami looked as good as I thought they'd be. I have them, I think, up to 5 or 6 on my ballot now. But yeah, none of that matters because now you've got the conference schedule to take care of. I picked Miami to win the ACC, and right now I think it's clear cut. It's either them or Clemson. Clemson's obviously a lot better than people thought after that first game against Georgia. But, you know, Miami's in a great position. And, it's kind of funny that this is Mario's third year at Miami and kind of his third year at Oregon, you include when he was defensive coordinator there. There could be on similar paths. Oregon's third year, they won the Pac-12 title, went to the Rose Bowl. Could Miami win the ACC and be headed to a college football playoff? We'll have to find out. But certainly through the first third of the season, they certainly looked the part.
Brett, how do you think the nation is taking Cam Ward? When are they going to start putting him to the forefront, or are they have already put him to the forefront of being a Heisman candidate or a favorite?
Yeah, according to the experts in Vegas, he is the favorite right now. And, I don't like to, if people, people wager on Heisman winners. I don't like to pick anyone this early because I just feel there's too many things can happen. And the way that I have a vote in the Heisman, but I think not me personally, but I think overall Heisman voters, they wait till the last minute. They wait to see who's going to make the playoff or among the best teams. And then who has the best Heisman moment or best game, you know, basically the last week of the season, a lot of times, you know, nowadays with all the stats being crazy, you know, the stats I think now are meaningless. You know, they really are. Unless you're just putting up some ridiculous numbers that nobody else can compare to, the stats are kind of meaningless. So with all that being said, it's hard for me to find somebody else other than I think Cam or Nico at Tennessee's quarterback. If Tennessee splits against Alabama and Georgia, they play both of them and say they go 11-1, I think he will be in New York. If Cam leads Miami to the ACC title, I think he'll be in New York. But there's always some surprises. We've had September Heisman winners in the past, the Denard Robinson. Travis Hunter won it last year, supposedly, in September. We saw how that ended up. So right now he's the favorite. And the bad news with that is when you're the favorite, all anyone wants to do is tear you down. It's not the four touchdowns you threw. It's the one interception you threw. So can he survive that? We'll have to find out. But look, if Miami wins the ACC, he's going to be in New York, no doubt.
I don't even know. What is the date of the Heisman this year? It might be the same time as a playoff.
No, it's not. It's the second Saturday in December.
And then it's the in-between the in-between week.
Playoff is the third week. And if Miami wins the ACC, they don't have to worry about that third week because they'll have a first-round bye. So. But if they don't get a bye, they would play the week after the Heisman.
Right. You are right about the narrative with Mario. It's interesting to me. Every time I do a national radio show, someone still brings up the Georgia Tech game. Then I have to point out, well, you know, he did win the Rose Bowl. So, you know, he has been able to do that. Let's move away from Miami for a moment. Big game this week, big as they come, Georgia and Alabama. What do you see there?
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time Alabama's been a home underdog since 2007. The backup quarterback on that Alabama team, this baby-faced freshman named Greg McElroy. So that's how long it's, you know, 17, 18 years since Alabama's been a home underdog. I think the best thing, if you like Georgia here, I think the best thing that could have happened was Georgia falling from number one to number two. Because now Kirby's got something to really focus on. You know, look, Alabama's going to play the underdog roll up. Georgia's going to play that nobody's giving us a chance, even though they're favored. And now they're ranked number two. You know, this is the last six meetings between these teams. Five of them have either been in the SEC championship or in the national championship. So this is a rare on-campus game between the teams. And also, I'm fascinated to see how Georgia responds in this atmosphere against Alabama because they played in Tuscaloosa in 2020. That was a COVID season, so there were no fans. This also, you have to go back to 2007, the last time Georgia has played before fans in Tuscaloosa. So Georgia's team has not experienced anything like they're gonna see Saturday night. You know, the question is which Georgia team's going to show up, the team that thumped Clemson early or the team that slept walk or struggled against Kentucky. I hate to go against Alabama even without Saban, but you know, this game's set up like the Super Bowl. The Vegas sportsbook put the odds out, you know, a week before the game, since both teams had an open date, almost like a college football Super Bowl. But obviously the winner of this is in great shape to win the SEC title. The loser, don't feel too bad about them. I'm pretty sure they're going to find a way into that 12-team playoff, getting an at-large bid.
We were able to watch some of Joe and I were able to catch a lot of that Alabama-USF game. And what's your thoughts about Alabama without Coach Saban? Is there anything that's a glaring difference, the discipline, the talent? You know, it took Alabama, what, till 10 minutes to go into the fourth quarter at home to really put USF away, but they did it, and they did it in a big way. But is there anything that's sticking out to you about how the transition has gone?
You know, not really. The thing that I wanted to see is, I mean, obviously it's going to be different. I mean, we've already seen the difference in how, you know, one, he lets the assistant coaches talk, which Saban didn't do. And again, it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad that Saban didn't let the assistants talk. You guys are aware of that from his time with the Dolphins. But the thing that I was intrigued with, and I'm still not sure, is how much different Jalen Milroe would be a quarterback with Kalen DeBoer. We saw what Kalen DeBoer did with Michael Penix last year. You know, totally changed him into a different quarterback. Overall talent-wise, they probably weren't good enough to get the national title game, yet they did. So that's what I want to see what happens with Milroe. It is a different style. It is a different way of doing things, but Alabama fans don't care. They want the same success. So as long as Alabama wins, then DeBoer's fine. If he loses, then I'm sure he'll find a few for sale signs posted in his front yard. But I love the hire. He's been a head coach at multiple stops, coached 122 games. He's lost 12 out of 122. I don't care if you're playing video games or coaching in the backyard. 110 and 12, that's a pretty good record, so a guy can coach.
Brett McMurphy is our guest. Brett, what's going on with Lincoln Riley and USC? They went into Michigan last week, and Michigan didn't throw a pass. They damn near went back to, like, 1972 football.
Well, when they switched to Alex Orji, that was basically the strategy. Davis Warren, the quarterback who had started the first three games, threw six interceptions in the first three games. Well, I knew there was no way that Alex Orji would throw six interceptions because Michigan wouldn't attempt six passes. I mean, that's just the way they're going to have to win. Even though I still think USC should have won this game, they gave up some late explosive plays to Michigan on offense. You know, USC has made incredible strides defensively. If you guys saw any of USC's games last year, Michigan would have ran for 8,000 yards if this game was played last year. They've shored up the defense. The offense under Lincoln Riley is always going to be good. I still think USC is a sleeper to get to the playoff. I don't. Obviously, now they're, you know, probably not a good bet to win the Big Ten. But I think they can finish in the top 11, top 12, and have a real shot to get to the playoff. Miller Moss has been pretty incredible so far this season at quarterback, and we know Lincoln Riley's track record. With quarterbacks for Michigan, I'm still not sold on them. I thought they would, you know, I obviously didn't think they were going to repeat, but I just thought this was going to be a 7 or 8 win team. We'll have to see if that's what they finish up as. I still think, you know, you described it perfectly. They don't attempt to pass. You can't do that against everybody and be successful. You're putting too much pressure on your defense, and at some point, that dam is going to burst. But, you know, if Sherrone Moore can get Michigan to the Big Ten title game, I think he should be Big Ten Coach of the Year because they lost 16 players in the NFL. They lost Harbaugh. To lose all of that talent and get to the back to the Big Ten title game would be a huge achievement. However, I think they're going to end up somewhere about 7-5 or 8-4.
When we stay in the state of Florida for a second, when you go to Florida State, who would think a preseason Florida State would have gotten their first win? It would take them till the end of September to do that. Where is this program right now, and if they got it back on the right track after a victory on Saturday?
Yeah, I don't think a close win against Cal puts you back on the right track. I don't know. I'm as stunned as anybody else out there. Like, I didn't – you know, my preseason AP ballot, I had Florida State probably lower than most people. I had them around 18 or 19. I didn't think they'd be as good as they were last year. I rated them kind of around with Michigan. So I figured Florida State probably finished 9-3. actually their win total in Las Vegas was 9.5. They lost all three games, so actually they're the first team to clinch going under their win total after the first 3 weeks. The issue is at quarterback, and DJU is not the answer, and they took a chance on that. I know that Florida State wanted Cam Ward. They didn't get him. Miami got him. And, you know, they made a decision to go with DJU, and he simply has not performed. They've also got a bunch of issues on the defensive line. You know, Pete Thamel of ESPN reported before the season this is going to be one of the nation's best defensive lines. Obviously, he was wrong about that. So what's going to happen with Florida State? Right now, my bold projections, I don't have Florida State getting 6 wins. Unless there's just some drastic improvement offensively that I haven't seen yet, you know, I don't see how that's going to happen. And I think part of it also is I think they are pressing so much. You know, the expectations of wanting to, you know, get back to the playoff after what happened last year and this getting snubbed by the selection committee. And then now since they lose one, they lose two. And now I just think they're pressing so much and they're really struggling. But, you know, offensively, they can't score enough right now to win many games. And now you go play SMU and Florida State's almost a touchdown underdog. You know, I'm sure there's no alligator tears down in Miami over this. But, yeah, I'm stunned that they're struggling this much. But it kind of shows you if you don't get the right quarterback in there, how much that can really impact the program. And we just look at Miami and Florida State as example 1A and 1B on how much that impacts a school.
One more question for you, and that is, well, stay in the state of Florida, the Gators. Now, I find myself in the very unusual position here. We have to root for the Gators to win. It makes the Miami win look better. I always get tired of when Miami beats Florida, then the response is, Florida wasn't any good. But what's going to happen there with the Gators if this, you know, monstrous schedule coming up? I don't think their talent's that terrible. I think their talent's pretty good. I think, in fact, if they were inside the ACC, they would not be a bottom team in the ACC. It's just they've got a uphill battle with the schedule they have, and which might lead them to another coaching change.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if they don't make a coaching change. And you're right. I mean, before the season, is the power ratings, you know, take the schedule out, but just the actual power rating of the program and the team, recruiting, et cetera. Florida was a top 25, ranked in the top 25 based by the power ratings. But then you look at that schedule, and it's not easy. And Miami thumped them. You know, A&M thumped them. I mean, they beat Mississippi State. That's really not saying much. Toledo beat Mississippi State. So they're off this week, and then they start their death march with UCF at Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, Florida State. Sounds like one, maybe two wins in that group. So you're looking at, you know, 4-8, 5-7, I think the high water mark. Yeah, if you're rooting for Florida, I feel for you. But I think, again, the best news is Miami doesn't need to rely on how good Florida is. If they win the ACC, they're going to be in the playoff. Where it gets tricky is if Miami doesn't win the ACC and you're trying to get in a large bid, then obviously your opponent's success matters a lot. But you know, I like Billy Napier. I think he's a good guy, but for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out there. I think a lot of people thought it would. He was highly coveted by a number of SEC teams through the years, and then he finally opted on going to Florida. But guys, that just shows how crazy, you know, these coaching hirings are. I mean, everyone thinks, oh, this guy's a home run hire, this guy's a great hire, and then you look 3 years down the road and you're like, get this guy out of here, we need somebody else in here. And the you know, poster child for this is Scott Frost going to Nebraska. I was as guilty as anyone. I thought that was the, you know, one of the greatest hires, you know, in recent history, going back to the alma mater, what he had did at UCF, what he had did at Oregon as a coordinator, and then it just didn't work out. So that just shows, you know, when you're hiring these guys, you're really not sure what you're getting until you get a few years down the road. That's why, you know, I'm really impressed with what Mario's done at Miami, because he's built that foundation. And he's got those guys all going in the same direction, you know, when a lot of schools can't say that. And now here's Florida. They've got an interim president. They've got an AD who hired Napier and the same AD who hired and fired Dan Mullen. So now are you going to let this guy hire the next guy? And I'm sure you guys have seen it too, but it's no secret. Florida's biggest donors, they want Lane Kiffin. Well, there's one problem with that. Kiffin's probably going to be in the playoff and be playing into January. So do you wait that long to name a head coach? We'll have to find out. But, yeah, certainly for Florida fans, this has been a rough year. If Napier can win and get to a bowl game with that schedule, he'll still be around next year. But I'm just afraid it's too tough. And I think you'll start to see a lot of injuries creep in as they play these tougher games and get beat up a little more. And, yeah, this is, without question, the hardest schedule in the history of college football, which is saying something.
Brett, you've been generous with your time. Thank you. Where can our listeners find all of your work? I know Twitter. Where else can they find your fine insider information?
Yeah, you can follow me at Twitter at Brett_McMurphy. I link all my stories off of that, or you can go to actionnetwork.com. Or if you want to get all the scores updates for college football, NFL, Major League Baseball, heck, golf if you want, download the Action Network app. It's, you know what, it's free for the next hour to all listeners. Well, I'm kidding. It's always free, but it sounds better. It sounds like it's a short-term deal. It's free, and you can get a lot of information on your favorite sports, your favorite teams, and, you know, give you some information so you're kind of a smarter person when you're sitting around with buddies having a beer talking about stuff, and you can say, oh, you know what, did you know this? So, but I appreciate you asking me. Just can you make one promise for me?
Yeah, sure.
Just make sure I'm invited to the national title parade when Miami has it down there, okay?
Well, you are you'll be number one on the list, but you are speeding a little bit now. But we're hoping for one. I can tell you that.
Well, the good news is I still think to win the ACC, and I don't know if this is bad news, but the challenging thing is that first playoff game for the ACC champ, if that's Miami, will be against either the SEC runner-up or against the Big Ten runner-up. So it's not going to be an easy game right out of the gate, but it's better than the alternative, watching it from home.
If they win the ACC, they'll have home field advantage.
Well, they play in a bowl game. They wouldn't play the first game at home.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we missed the first
round. Yeah, so they get the benefit of not playing the first round game, but their first game would be against the SEC or Big Ten runner-up, because that will be the highest-ranked team that didn't win their conference championship.
All right, very good. All right, well, you're on the invite list, no question about that. If we win championship, have a parade, you're here. We'll drink beers.
I'll drive down from Tampa. Let's do it.
All right, thanks very much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
That's Brett McMurphy with us. If the University of Miami wins a championship and they have a parade, Don, I don't know. We're going to hire a truck, a flatbed truck, and we're going to put you on the flatbed truck and just drive through the crowd in your pose.
I think it's a good idea, Joe. I'll wear my hurricane birthday suit. It'd be a fun deal. Well, you know what? It's nice that we're winning, man. That's the best part about it, and I'm happy it's really for Coach Cristobal, because he's put in more hours than that whole staff. I'm happy for them too. They put a lot into it, and the leadership of this University of Miami has made sure that they went out and did everything they could do to make this happen, and it's working.
Well, a new season starts on Friday night, and I guarantee you, I can't guarantee that McMurphy will have a spot in a parade at the end of the year, but I can guarantee you this, and anybody listening to this show, Miami's going to get Virginia Tech's best game or best effort.
Well, I think it's safe to say right now that that's the way it is for the intel from now to the end of the year. When you're, Miami's on top, you know what's coming. Everybody wants to knock.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.